want to do today is discuss the sugya of Hechsher Kelim. We'll try to get some practical, but I want to a little bit discuss the ideas, the sugya of it, because let's get the lumdis, and then we'll get to some practical. But I want to, you know, bear with me. We'll talk about some of the lumdis. I don't know how much background the Olam has in Hilchos, you know, in Kasher and some basic terms. So I want to go through some basic terms, and we'll get to some halachal maisa. But really, I want to give some background and helping understand what is it that we're doing when we're Kasher. So the concept of the basic yesod of Kasher is kabol kach polter, that the Torah says that however the flavor will go into the kli is the way it comes out of the kli. So if you cook something in chametz, the same way that the flavor went into the kli, that's the way it comes out of the kli. So if something is grilled, you put bread or breaded something, or something with chametz onto a direct contact with fire. So let's say you put it on a grill, or even if you put it onto a pan, and the pan is directly on the fire, but there's no liquid. So then, since it went in directly through the heat, in order to come out, you need direct heat, which is through libun. You have to burn out the flavor. There's two types of libun. There's libun chomer, which is called in the poskim nitzotzes nitazin yimenu, meaning that mamish becomes like a fire. And then there's libun kal, which we see when it's used. But libun kal is something that it's not itself nitzotzes nitazin yimenu. It's not 1,000 degrees. But if you put, let's say, kash, straw, which is, they say today, is like newspaper. You put a newspaper on it, it would singe it. So that gets hot enough for libun kal. It's a lower level of burning out, which we'll see when we use it. If something is used on a pot with liquid on the fire, so it's a lower level because it went through liquid, so you could kasher it through liquid. So that's called hagala. You boil up a pot and you put the thing in. If it was only used through irui, which means it never went on the fire. Let's say you have a mug. So the way you kasher a mug, the way a mug would have had chametz would have only been through irui, meaning because it was never on the fire, just from a kli rishon, you poured onto this kli. A sink is in that category, kipshuto. So maybe it could come out through iroi, same thing, that you pour hot water on it, it could come out. Now, that's the first, very, very, very first step. Now, there's a big shaila in Hagala. Okay? The big shaila, in order to really, I want to further this. The big shaila in Hagala is like this. If you take a pot, it was a treif pot. So first of all, if the pot was not used within 24 hours, so the flavor in the pot is called pogum. It doesn't taste good anymore. It's bottled. So really, why do you have to kasher anything? Just wait 24 hours and use it. After 24 hours, anyway, even if the flavor would come out, it won't asher the food. So why do you ever have to kasher anything after 24 hours? Teretz says, Chazal made a gzera that if we allow you to use it without kashering it after 24 hours, you may come to use it within 24 hours. And the mele, you're never allowed to use a pot or a keli without kashering it if it got treif. On Pesach, there's an extra chumrah, which is that this whole heter of Nois and Tam Lefgam maybe doesn't apply. So if you have an old chametz kli that wasn't used and you don't kasher and you cook with it on Pesach, it could be utaka asu the food. So it's an extra chumrah. Okay. So now the question becomes the following. Let's say you have a pot. And the pot has treif flavor inside it. Yeah? Now, you want to kasher it. So what do? You boil up the pot in water, and you throw out the water, and all of a sudden the pot is kosher. What changed? All the flavor that was in the pot went back into the water, and then went back into the pot. So it's the same thing as before. Nothing really changed. So what's the difference? Why does Hechsher Kelim, why does it work at all? What's the whole concept of Hechsher Kelim? Bishlam, you do Libun, which is the first way you burn it out. I understand. Because when you burn it out, you burnt out the flavor. But if all you did is Hagala, then what's the point? You take a pot, you boil it up, and throw out the water. Very nice. But all the flavor went out of the pot, into the water, and back into the pot. So what do you gain by doing that? Okay? So the teretz is just three possible things that you gained. And each one makes a difference, what the case is. One thing is that the pot was not used within 24 hours. So now when the flavor goes out into the pot, it's a pogum flavor. It's a flavor that was not fresh. When it goes back in, now it's mutter. I told you before that anyway it was pogum before you started. The teretz is that if the flavor went in fresh, then chazal asher then until you kasher, until it comes out. But if it comes in as a pogum flavor to begin with, then it's not asher. So memela, if it was in there from before and you never got rid of it, it's asher. But if it comes out and comes back in, now it comes back in as a pogum flavor. So memela, now that's not a problem. That's one svar why it works. Now, that only works if the pot has not been used within 24 hours. But let's say the pot was used within 24 hours. So now there's two other ways that it could work. One is, there's a concept of bittul b'shishim. Let's say you have a treif spoon, and you put it into the pot. All the flavor in the spoon, even if it comes out, even if it's a fresh flavor, all the tam that's in the pot, in the spoon, will go out into the pot, and it'll become bottled in the water, because the water is 60 times more than the spoon.
So
the only thing that Chazal say
until it works on an ena ben yom or
even ben yom that works. If you have shishim connected,
it work on a ben yom or it doesn't work on a ben yom.
If you have, that's what I'm saying. The second method is even if it's a ben yomo and it's a fresh flavor, but if there's 60 times the flavor in the pot, then it will be bottled. Then it will go out and become bottled in the water, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now that only works on kalim that you do agal in, but the pot itself, Chazal teach us, that a pot does not contain 60 times it's the amount of flavor in the wall. By definition, whatever is in the pot, and I don't know the science in there, but what's in a pot, maybe a very, very, very wide and shallow, whatever. But a normal pot will not contain inside the pot 60 times the amount of the walls. And therefore, you'll never be able to use this method on a pot. You'll have to make sure that the pot is ain't even because the second method won't work. The third method, technically, could work on something which is a mutter flavor. It won't work on an asr flavor. So the question is why doesn't it work on any benyamim? But okay, is that if it's is that like this? There's a very big difference between kashering from treif, or let's say you want to kasher milchik. Something's milchik, you want to make it now parif. Because a treif blia, if it's benyamim, is asr. So it goes into the water and asrs the water. It goes back in, it's still awesome. They never got rid of it. But there's a new concept. Did anyone here, does anyone here know, familiar with nat bar nat?
Yeah.
You heard about it, but you don't know what it is. Okay. That's probably most people, right? So, nat bar nat means that it's noisin tam, bar noisin tam. Means it's a second degree tam. So now, the classical case, let's take a very simple case. You cook, and this shayla comes up probably once every week or every 2 weeks, once every 2 weeks. Someone cooks up pasta in a milchik pot because they think for Sunday lunch the kids are going to want to eat pasta. So the pot is ben yoymai because they cooked pasta last night from Matan Lav Malka. So pot is ben yoymai and it's milchik, and you cooked up pasta in the milchik pot. Now you cook the pasta in the milchik pot, but it's power of pasta, everything's power, but it's a milchik pot. Now, the question is, can I use that pasta that's left over, can I use it to serve spaghetti and meatballs? Because, now what's the problem? It's totally power, but it was cooked in a power of pot. So what's the issue? The issue is that there's a second level tam of milchik in the pasta. Because the milk went into the pot, that's the first tam number one. Then the flavor of the milk comes out of the pot into the pasta, that's tam number two. So it's not bar not. And now you have a very weak flavor of milchiks in the pasta. Are you allowed to mix that with fleishiks? Okay? You're definitely not supposed to do that lechatchila, so if you know your milchik pot is out, you want to cook up pasta for your fleishik supper, you're not supposed to do that lechatchila. B'dieved, you're going to have to throw it out and cook new pasta, and this is your only choice. What do you do? Okay, but...
If it's not
a ben yoima, then it's fine. And not to do l'chatchila necessarily, but definitely in this case that I'm describing, and you have the pasta and you have no choice. Your other choice is to throw it out. What else are you going to do with it? So if your choice is to throw it out or to serve it with the fleishiks and make new ones for the fleishiks, you're allowed to use the ein ben yoima, the one that was cooked in ben yoima. If it was cooked in a ben yoima, different shitas, that's called b'dieved or not. Okay? So the point is, though, it's a secondary flavor. This only works, okay? This is complicated, everybody. We're going to build on this. This only works by something which is mutter. It doesn't work by something which is aser. You can't do that svara unless you take a treif pot and you cook the pasta in a treif pot. And you say, okay, now I want to eat it because it's not barnat. No, it doesn't work. Treif doesn't diminish itself as many flavors as goes down. Treif doesn't go down. But heter, milchik says heter, it's mutter. Question is, does it become basar b'chalav? That's a question. So now there's another method of how you kasher milchiks, is even if there's no shishim, and even if it's a ben yoimai, you could theoretically kasher milchiks just by dipping it into a pot. Why? Because let's say you take a milchik pot, you fill it up. So now what happens is, all the flavor goes into the water, it's not barnat, comes back into the pot, it's already three flavors, and the mela, even if it was a ben yoimai pot, and even if there was no shishim in the pot, so you didn't have the first two methods, you have the third heter, which is that it's a not barnat. Because the milchik flavor of the cheese went into the pot, then went from the pot to the water, then it comes back from the water back into the pot, it's already very far removed from the original milk, and the mela, it would work to kasher that way. Okay? And that's another way kashering works. By the way, there's a Gishmaka kasher, B'Kivager asks, and others, it's really very rush. Is we know you're not allowed to do ein mevatlan iser lechatchila. You're not allowed to lechatchila go do bittel. So why are you allowed to hechsher kalim? Hechsher kalim, if you're using the method of shishim, you're being mevatl the flavor. So you're putting in a spoon that was used for a treif, and you're putting it into the pot, and now what's the lumdus? The flavor, when it comes out, is going to become bottle in the water, and then when it comes back in, it's already bottle. So why don't you say ein mevatlan iser lechatchila? You're not allowed to do that. So the answer is that the case of Ein Mevatlan Iser L'Chatchila is when you want the flavor, not when you don't want the flavor. In other words, the whole idea of Ein Mevatlan Iser L'Chatchila is you have a chalent pot. You're like, hey, I want to make this a drop more creamy. Let me try to put some milk in. I'll just make sure it's less than shishim. And this way, I'll make the chalent a little bigger. I'll add some milk. I don't have water handy. So there, you're not allowed to, because you actually want the milk in the chalent. You just don't want it to be aser. So you're using bittel to make it mutter. But over here, you're trying to get rid of the flavor, not put it back in. So Dr. B'Kivager, since you're trying to get rid of the flavor, not put it back in, then there's no problem with some involved in this
lechatchila. I have another shaila on what you said. You said that we don't rely on ben yoima, on any ben yoima by itself because of gzera. So therefore you have to do Lieben. So let's say you're doing Lieben. So if you're going to do Lieben anyway, why bother to wait the 24 hours at all?
You don't have to if you do Lieben. If you're doing Haggadah, you may have to based on everything we're saying.
Lieben, you don't have such a minute?
No.
Oh,
no.
By Lieben, you don't need it.
No, because you're burning it out.
So why is there a hector for everybody to use a public wood? When you're just counting that everybody's being responsible, because if they're not responsible, then your situation works.
So you have a great question on that, okay? So now let's get to chametz. We didn't get to chametz yet. We just gave some very, very basic background, okay? It's very hard to do this in because there's so many pieces of information you need to know. We gave very, very basic background, okay? But now let's go to chametz, okay? You have a chametz pot. Now, pot is not a good example. Chametz cutlery. Cutlery. Okay, real chametz. You have chametz cutlery, you want to kasher it. So now, you're talking now, it's a week before Pesach. So what do you do? So I would say, you have to have a few things that you're doing. Either you have to say, let's go through the three methods. Either you have to make sure that nothing is ben yomo. So if all the cutlery is not ben yomo, then it's not a problem. Why? Because all the chametz flavor is going to go out into the water. If it comes back into the cutlery, it's okay because it's coming back in as an eino ben yomo, as a bad flavor. So if you wait eino ben yomo, it's fine. The other way is to make sure that there's 60 times the water against all of the kalim. But that's not so simple when you're doing it in a public place. Because in a public place, Mishnah Berurah says, you have to count all of the people's stuff. So you have to make sure so you don't have 60 times. Or even if you're in your own house, cutlery, you don't have 60 times all the cutlery. So you have to make sure it's ain't a ben yomo. So in a public hagala, you have to make sure that nothing is being brought that is a ben yomo, that's been used for chametz within 24 hours. Now, even if, right now, you have to keep in mind one thing. Let's say you don't have 60. So now, if you don't have 60 and things are being used as ben yomo, so the other thing you could argue is that is the third thing we said, which is maybe the thing that you're kashering, even if there's chametz flavor, let's say, but any flavor coming back into the keli is not bar nat. Because let's think about it. Let's say a few people before you online brought real chametz cutlery into the kashering place, and it was all used within the last 24 hours. So now what happens? You stick it in, and now there's this chametz flavor sitting there. It's not batel. It's not batel, and it's fresh flavor, and it's sitting there in the pot. Now you bring your kiddush cup, you put it in, and what just happened? All that chametz flavor just came into your kiddush cup. So what did you get? You lost out now, right? So you'll tell me no. But maybe the logic is it's not bar nat. Because let's figure it out. Means you have the chametz that went originally into the knife or into the fork, because you have chametz that went into the fork of the knife, the cutlery. You have chametz that went into the cutlery. It went out from the cutlery into the water. So now chametz into the cutlery into the water is two tetams, and then it comes back into your cup ready as a third flavor. So you'll tell me, I just told you that if it's treif, that doesn't work. But if it's kosher, it's just milchik. It's okay. So now the question is, so that would be fine, technically. The question now is chametz, how do you consider chametz before Pesach? Do you consider chametz before Pesach like treif? Or do you consider chametz before Pesach like milchik, inflation? That each one is fine, as long as, because something else needs to happen to make it aser. Just like by milchik. Milchik is totally fine. Milchik is mutter. It's just aser if something else has to happen in order to make it aser. And since it's such a weak flavor, nothing can happen to it. So what about chametz? What do you say? Is chametz, do you say, well, chametz is chametz. It's just that wait till Pesach, it's going to become awesome by itself. So chametz is a problem, shmaya love. Or do you say, no, chametz is really mutter. And something has to happen to make it awesome. And since you weaken the flavor down to a third level flavor, then it's going to stay mutter. You hear the question? This is a big machloikis in the Rishonim, where the chametz is called hetera bala, or chametz is called isura bala. Is it called heter or zisser? And this is machlokes in the Rishonim. It's a steer in the Mechaber. It's shittas of the Rama brings it. It's very not clear. Mishnah Berurah brings down a Tufnan Aleph that really poiskim hold that we say isura bala. Mechaber and Tufnan Beis is mashma hetera bala. It's very complicated. But let's say we're machmer on that. So if we're going to be machmer on that, then you're 100% right. You have to trust. You cannot use that third method of not banat. So the only way you could ever kasher anything is you have to make sure there's either 60 times it or that it's not fresh. It's all eino ben yomo. So when you're doing a public hagala, you have to make sure that everyone's stuff is eino ben yomo. You have to make a very big announcement. Everything should be eino ben yomo. Do they do that in these hagala places?
They have a list of rules, but I don't know if they...
They don't ask
before you
put the stuff on.
Sometimes
what?
They say...
When you put the stuff on the table, they don't ask.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, they usually make announcements, but you would also need chora, shishim.
Okay, but if a lot of people, you have a lot of people.
Saying, but it would have to be a lot of people ignore the ain't a ben yomo.
Okay, fine. I'm saying, you know,
because
but
you need
one person doing it.
Very large.
So I understand. I understand what you're saying.
One person bringing ain't a ben yomo.
I got it, but you have to have a rule, because otherwise...
One person bringing ben yomo is not going to mess you up. You still probably have shish.
I understand. But I'm saying, but you have to have that rule because otherwise people will bring, will add up.
They'll say in advance and the announcement.
Sure,
so.
No,
They usually announce it.
Right.
Oh, so most things are not binyomim. Bottom line is, very unlikely most things are binyomim. Like, well, only pots and stuff are really chametz. Cutlery, the readies are cliche.
Definitely, how could it not be? It's a huge pot.
No, but let's say you start bringing, people start bringing their frying pan, and the frying pans aren't even so, well, people only bring cutlery.
They've just been cutlery and batteries. And
they make sure so there's no... There's no lips, and there's no...
That's all different, right. That's all different.
I know where he stops you.
Makes you do it at home,
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it in a while.
I think they stopped.
Because of what?
Shari does have a 99% of stuff you can't put out.
Yeah, yeah, he stops you. He stops you. He looks at...
It's just a lot of stuff.
He just won't let anything go in, so...
So why?
Or any lip or any niche,
yeah, boxes are there.
There's a design in the silk where you can't put it in. Nothing.
He says you can't bring this.
So what are you doing? So you
do it at home. How did you do it wrong?
And he changes the water.
Okay, anyway, so that's the aside of how Kash, that's the aside of how Haggadah works. Okay, this is some of the background on Haggadah. Another very, very important halacha, b'negei hagala, b'negei kashrin, which is also totally in this concept of hetera bala versus isura bala, which is, everybody asks the question, either A, I don't have a self-cleaning oven. B, I have a self-cleaning oven, but I don't want to use a self-clean because my oven broke too many times on the self-clean. C, There was a text went out. There's this guy that does a lot of appliance repair. I don't know if he's sure he's Jewish. He's probably Jewish. I don't remember. I don't know who it is. But a lot of people in the community use this guy. And he sent out a text to all of his customers. My wife got it. A few people got it. Basically, b'chol lashon shel bakasha, please do not self-clean your oven. I don't have time to service everyone's ovens before Pesach. And then he says, but if you're going to self-clean your oven, please do it at least 3 or 4 days before so I could order the parts that you're going to need to replace your oven.
Wow.
Literally, this guy sends it out. So,
must be Steve.
What? Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. So Lamaisa, either A, I don't have self-cleaning in my oven. B, I don't want to self-clean my oven. C, my appliance repair guy scared me. So I'm too nervous. Or newer ovens have a steam type of self-clean, which we discussed last week. The kashrin with steam is not so poshut. And therefore the self-cleanings that they do is not like the old-fashioned self-clean, which mamash turns everything into charcoal. It cleans it. And it's lavdavka the same thing. You have to know if it's the same thing. The Stark has a write-up on this. And therefore... What do I do? Now, if you have an oven, the reason why you would need self-clean is because self-clean, like we started with, is an oven, you cannot do hagala on an oven. Because things that are cooked in the oven, the chametz that's baked in the oven, the chametz goes in without liquid. And therefore, you can't kashrin with liquid, you can't pour hot water on an oven. It doesn't work, because you need to actually do libun. Libun means with the fire. So the only way to kashrin, self-clean is a full sure kashrin it, and that works. The shaila is, if you don't have it, what to do? So here is one that all the liquid poiskim have a kula on this. Now what's the idea? So there's two ideas in this. Basically, turn it on the highest. The highest is only really libun kal, it's not libun chomer. It's not the highest level libun. Like we said, it turns into charcoal. But rather, it's the libun kal, which is called kash nisraf. It gets up to 450, 500 degrees, a little more than 500 degrees. And therefore, that's enough to singe, a piece of newspaper. It gets hot in there, and okay. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler, that that's good enough for an oven. So in Eretz Yisrael, they do not go with this. That's why a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael don't have, in the old days, people did not kasher the ovens for Pesach or whatever. They did other things, but what in the old days in Eretz Yisrael, they used a sir pella. They baked everything on the stove. We don't really use ovens in Pesach so much, but if you have this scenario, what would be the lumdus? Why would you be allowed to use a lower degree of not Liban Chomer. So one answer could be, well, Kabbalah Kach Polta. You could say, well, that if the Kohen's on the highest, then obviously by definition, that's the highest the Chametz could have gotten in. But we don't really usually say that. We'd say, like, the Maisa, you need Liban. So there's two pshatim. One is that, in fact, really, the Chametz never touched the walls of the oven. The Chametz never touched the walls of the oven. The case that you need Liban is a case like a grate on a grill, where you actually put the chametz directly on the grate of the grill, and the heat puts it in. Or you have a frying pan. That you don't...
The bottom, things fall to the bottom.
What?
Maybe not the walls, but things fall down. It drips down to the bottom of the oven. The cocoa, the oil can go down, whatever.
Not could, it goes.
It goes.
It always drips all over.
Okay, but I don't know if the flavor that's in the bottom of the oven you're getting. How does an oven, let's use a treif oven, what's the concern? The concern is that there's steam from your food. You have a treif oven, very nice, what does that do with my food? Why is it also to use a treif oven? Because the concern is that your food will steam up from, go on top and bring it down, or even to the sides. But what's on the bottom, I don't know how that's necessarily getting it. As long as it's clean, it's not mukha, how's that going to get into your food? It's only what's on top of your food.
Why would the size of your valve?
Because also, cause the steam could come into this, from, as long as you're underneath it. But from what's underneath, as long as it's clean, I don't know if that's necessarily such an issue. Unless your mom is filling up the whole oven with steam,
just,
which you see nowadays.
The steam is going in, or the steam turns into water and drips down?
Yeah, fine.
Which one?
Either one.
If the steam goes into water, then the stuff on the bottom could heat up, turn into steam, and drip down also.
Stuff, if it's clean, I'm saying. What's going to happen?
If the bottom is treif.
No, but I don't... What,
steam on the bottom.
The steam, it's clean now. What are you saying? It's going to drip down and then steam up?
No, it's going to steam up and then drip down.
Nothing steams. There's nothing
there. I hear what you're saying with the bottom of the oven. I have to think about that question. This is what I would say right now without thinking too much. This is what I would say. I like that question. But
grates are...
Okay, well, before the grates. So Mamela, some want to argue that really the oven, the doors of the sides of the oven, every other part of the oven, really never came into the food directly through heat. It's through heat with a medium of something else. It's the only way it's going to come into your food or come out of your food is through a medium of steam or liquid or something else, and therefore it's really equivalent to something coming in with the medium, not directly through the heat. And therefore, that's why you don't need Libun Chomer. And Libun Kal, this lower level of Libun, is equivalent to Agala. And therefore, you could really technically do this level of Libun. According to what I saw Rabbi Forsheimer brings from Rabaran, that you could turn it on broil or the highest, preheat it, and leave it on for about an hour.
That's what all the, I mean, practically, I'm pretty sure all the major hashgachas go with that.
What are you talking about?
In other words, turning the oven, cleaning it, turning the oven on for an hour, and this hedge or whatever it is, I guess, out of all the
things right. But even by treif, you mean?
What's the minimum temperature?
What Prime is saying is that the big difference, if you're going to self-clean the oven, then the cleaning that you do before could be much less, because it will clean it by itself. Masha'en Kane, if you're going to do this, you really have to scrub everything. There cannot be any ben, there cannot be any grease or any dirt on the oven. You have to clean the oven extremely well, and then you could do this method. Now, one other thing to point out with this is that the grates themselves does not have this heter. Because the grates themselves, kipshutai, could be that you put food directly on them, and they come much more directly in contact with the food. So there, the way the flavor goes from the grate into the food is not through a medium. It's much more direct. Now you could say, fine, so that you could just cover, maybe. You cover the grates, and whatever. Or some people will take their grates to someone else and self-clean the grate, you know, put it under self-clean in someone else's oven or something like that. When I first moved in, I had a neighbor, we would joke around a lot. So I didn't have self-clean my oven, he did. So I brought my, I said, when you're self-cleaning my oven, can I put my racks my racks in your oven. So he's like, oh, this is the first thing you're trusting my oven for. But you could do that. Is you can put the racks in there, or if you really, the racks really, you have to know, no one puts really food directly on there either. It's really also coming through the steam. It's unlikely that it's like whatever, but
the big one is you may like slap pizza on it.
Right, it could also be.
Has to be chumps.
The upper racks also more important because again, the upper racks that it drifts on.
Well, the racks is more of a shiloh than the oven itself, but the racks are easier to solve. Is an issue which is easier to solve. But this is there's one other reason why Liban Kal can work on an oven, is based on what we said before, is that if you hold that chametz is hetera bala, and therefore it could be that something which requires Liban Gomor, if you do Liban Kal, it's equivalent to a nat bar nat, and it's equivalent to a nat bar nat. So now it's a weak flavor, and therefore it can't become asr on Pesach. There's such a svar like that. But anyway, that would be another svar why on Pesach. That wouldn't work for treif, for what you're saying. But it would work for chametz on Pesach. Before Pesach, you could do Liban Kal.
Do you have to wait? Does it have to be an in?
Prima Gadim is mesupik on that. But
Liban Kal is like Hagala. Right?
It's like Hagala, but it's equivalent to Hagala, but I don't know if it's the alumnus of Hagala. I don't know. Prima Gadim clears if it's served the Blia or it's mafli the Blia. Okay. Now, one other thing I want to discuss is the glass top ovens. Okay? So now here's
stove
the...
Oven.
What?
Stove oven.
Glass top stove. So the glass top stove is like this. A typical stove, which is either gas or electric, typical, I don't know what's typical, but whatever, a gas or electric stove, so basically it's pretty simple to kasher, because you turn on to the highest, it glows, it turns into fire, it kashers the piece, you could cover the middle, and it's fine. Okay? We've discussed that before. But the glass top has a couple issues. There's two parts to the glass. Let's split up into two parts. There's one is the part where the coils are, where it turns red, the circle part that turns red. And then there's the part in between. So the part in between, everybody holds, you cannot really kosher that. Because even if you turn on all the burners, the part in between does not get hot enough to kosher. But hot chametz does fall on that part the whole year. So now, it's very complicated. Now you'll tell me, fine, anything that falls in between there, I won't eat. But the problem is the pots move around. And if you never kasher the area in between, it's a big problem. So what are you going to do? Pour hot water on it? It's going to crack. It's not no good. You're going to blowtorch it? I'm saying it's not possible. And cover it with tinfoil? It's going to crack also because it's going to trap all the heat.
They make course the cleanest.
Wait, what?
Put the cargo on top.
Put the what on top?
You have to lift it up, no?
So now, what you could do is so that's the area in between is very complicated. Now, besides the area in between being complicated, the Star K and others say that you can kasher the red area itself by turning it on the highest, and that kasher, obviously, if it's clean, that will kasher it. Now, I have a question on this. I've never gotten an answer to my question. I'm not sure if it's a valid question. But I'm going to throw out the question. There's a Geshmaka Ha'ara, I think. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about how do you kasher a bowl that's made out of earthenware, cheres? Someone says you cannot do hagala on cheres. That's a pasuk in the Chumash. You cannot pour hot water. Cheres is not maflit the bliya. You cannot take out a bliya out of cheres. It's bliyos in meruba, bliyos in shumlates. It's not possible to really kasher cheres. The only way to kasher cheres is with a full libun. It's called machzir l'kivshonis. You have to really, really do a full libun. So the Gemara says, so what's the big problem? So put the coal, take a bunch of coals, stick the kli cheres into the coals, and it'll get really hot. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the coals are on the outside of the bowl, and the bliya came in from the inside of the bowl. So from this Gemara you learn that the way to do libun, unless it's libun gomer, if it's only libun kal, the way to do libun kal has to be from the direction that the food came in. You cannot do libun kal from the back of the kli. It has to be from the inside of the kli. Okay? So let's say you take a frying pan. let's just take a frying pan. So the way to kash a frying pan is not by putting it back onto the let's just take a simple case. A milchik frying pan, you put fleishiks in it. You cannot kasher it by putting it back onto the stove, because the fleishiks came in from the top of the frying pan and the heat is on the bottom. So you always have to have the source of the heat from the direction that the flavor came in. Okay? Unless you do Lieben Gomer like a self-clean oven. A self-clean oven is so hot that it spreads out the heat equally that there's no difference between the back and the front of the kli. But if it's just Lieben Kal, which is 400 or 500 degrees, then it has to be from the direction that the food went in. We had a shayla, I remember I was still in Lakewood, and I was sitting with the dayan, and the shayla was that somebody had a sandwich maker, and that they used for grilled cheese, and one of the kids decided to make a grilled pastrami sandwich inside the sandwich maker, and the pastrami touched the thing. So the lady asked, can I just plug in the machine, and it kashers it. So the answer is no, you cannot kasher that machine. It's impossible because the source of heat is coming from the bottom of the sandwich maker, and the flavor of the pastrami came in from the top. So it doesn't work. So my problem over here with the glass top stove is that even if you turn it on, but the heat is coming from the bottom, underneath the glass is these coils, and the flavor, the chametz, the whole year came from the top. So unless it's Lieben Gomer, which I don't think it reaches Lieben Gomer, it's Lieben Kal, so how does it work that why does even the glass, the red part become kosher? I don't even know that the red part becomes kosher. So the Star Case says that the red part becomes kosher. So if you will be Mary Makbid the entire Pesach to use pots that fit very precisely on the red pot, technically you could use it. The problem is pots slide around. Your big chicken soup pot that you use on Pesach, that for some reason the whole year you don't need that size pot. You decided on Pesach, I need the biggest pot I ever saw in my life. So for whatever reason you have that pot for Pesach, right? I'm not the only one with that, right? So for some reason, that pot on Pesach is going to be bigger than your biggest burner. So anyway, you can't use it. So Star K warns of that. And therefore the Star K says that really you cannot just do that. And therefore you have to do something to make sure that the pot will not touch the trivets or whatever. I guess if you have those things, then you can use it. Lemaisa, nowadays, they have, in different places, they have like mats, basically. And these mats are very geschmack. I don't know if they cook well, but from Kasha's perspective, they're good. Is that basically there's these metal mats or whatever they're made of, some material that basically you put on the glass top stove, and the mela, that those mats transfer the heat. I guess they conduct the heat well, and therefore you can plug in the mat or use the mat, and that will from a kosher's perspective, it's good. From a cooking perspective, so I have no idea if it works.
So.
What?
So.
Yeah.
A lot of people break their glass
and
stuff like that.
No, I don't think.
I think these are made.
No, they're made for this. They're made for this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's breaking it, but it's. It may not work well from a cooking perspective.
So, remember, you need two also, very likely. One.
Why?
What are you going to do for milk and fleishiks?
No, what's the difference between that and the stove the whole year?
Your stove self kashes itself.
Okay, you're talking about Pesach, how much milk, I don't know, I mean, okay,
saying,
you can be technically more careful.
I don't know
if you need two for that, but.
For people who are breaking the glasses, originally, it's like you said, take a metal sheet pan and put it. And put it like this, and put it on very high, and the heat will cause it down. But the concern was that
it
was breaking the glass.
And Lemaisa, even if it doesn't break that, the fight that there's a concern, the Gemara says.
Like
the Gemara says you're always concerned it's going to break it, so you're always going to take it off too early or whatever. So maybe the glass top, I would say use these mats, use a trivet, but it's not so posh to kasher it. I don't think it's so posh to kasher it. So that's the glass top, and that's the oven itself. Bottom line is, if you're kashering in your own house, then make sure, one more point on this, is everyone wants to know, when I'm kashering, should I kasher with a chametz pot or should I kasher with a Pesach pot? The classic question, right? What? No, so it depends. Let's say you're kashering real chametz stuff, not bechers. Let's say you're kashering real chametz stuff. So the MS is is that if everything is Eino Ben Yoimai, the pot is Eino Ben Yoimai, and the silverware is Eino Ben Yoimai, then Kipshuto it should be fine. Kipshuto it should be fine. Lemaisa, what?
What's better?
Lemaisa was better. So Lemaisa was better because if you tell people just use your chametz pata kasher, they look at you like it doesn't make sense. Well, what's the point? It doesn't make sense. It's the same. Well, what I gain? They're the same thing, right? I use this spoon to mix up the chametz in that pot. So I want to kasher the spoon, so I'm kashering it in that pot. Lemaisa, there's a shtickle minig, which is not klar, but that what you could do is you could basically simply kasher the pot before you start using it, which is basically you fill it up, boil it, pour out the water, and then fill it up again and start kashering. That's one method. The other method is the opposite. Use a Pesach pot and then kasher it again afterwards. So you could either kasher before or kasher afterwards again, but if there's shishim, keneged, in the kelim, so then, if you're only kashering these bechers and stuff like that, so then if it's Eino Ben Yoimai and you're doing it well before Pesach, you could use a Pesach pot. It shouldn't be an issue. Shouldn't be an issue. Okay. I think we pretty much covered those nekudas I wanted to get to. There's obviously a lot more, but Mr. Hashem, everyone should have Chag Kasher Sameach and should be coming to Sayyid properly.